Welcome to Port Stories.
Actually, I started a podcast one other time back when podcasts were brand new.
Yeah.
And got two episodes in and discovered that doing a podcast by yourself is really hard.
It is, yeah. Just you need, I think, at least one or if not two people to bounce off of.
It's good to have somebody else to bounce off of. But yeah, by yourself.
Yeah.
Back in the very, very early days of podcasting.
Yeah.
I think we're both coming through all right here. Cool.
Good. Nice one.
I usually leave all that stuff in.
Yeah, might as well. A little bit of chat beforehand.
So this is Port Stories, and I am talking to Jack at the Coda Dojo last final day of the term event.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with this?
So I was actually in the first session of Coda Dojo in town about 10 years ago now. It was like, I think there was probably not even 10 of us in a room learning how to do very basic coding, HTML and CSS, and kind of just stuck with it from there. Have done loads of different things throughout the years as a kid, and then ended up going to college to do music production and sound engineering, and then I'm now doing a class.
Whereabouts did you study?
It was DFEI in Dunleary. I did a two-year course, music production. The guys there are very good. They had a studio and stuff, so we could learn how to record as well as sort of sound design and that kind of thing.
Did you grow up in Port, or are you from elsewhere? Yeah. I still haven't got a lock on what the Midlands accent is.
Yeah, so. No, to be fair, I grew up in Port, but I think we moved down when I was two, so like all of my family don't have Midlands accents, so I kind of do stick out in that way. But like, I went to this school.
Cool, excellent.
So there's pictures on the wall here around us. Obviously, that's not great for a podcast format, and you can't see what's around us.
No, it's all right. We're also gesturing with our hands and stuff, which is brilliant.
But there's pictures on the wall around us of like my sisters who were here before. There's none of me. I kind of stayed in the shadows in that regard, to be fair, and kind of just got through it. But yeah.
So now that you're finished college now, or?
Yeah.
So what are you doing now?
So now I'm actually working in the Department of Children and Equality for the government. And so nothing music related, but I'm doing sort of music stuff on the side like this or the occasional sound engineering piece.
Yeah, and sometimes you've done our mixing for us for Port Sounds occasionally.
Exactly, yeah. But I mean, even going through Coda Dojo and doing all the, like I did so many, I remember we did Python, we did some game design, some video editing at one stage, and I've kind of picked up bits and pieces from all of those which have helped in the job I'm doing now.
Yeah, it's like you never know what you're going to use in a particular job.
Exactly,
like stuff that I thought that I would never use in any job has been so useful in the most wild way in something else.
I just remember even in school, I did DCG, design and communication graphics. So we were doing like 3D modeling and stuff. But like there were guys in my class who didn't know how to save a file or make a folder on a computer.
Wow.
I mean, I knew that just because...
yeah, because you came here.
Exactly, yeah. But
I knew it because I'm a nerd.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably me as well, which I mean, yeah. But it's just there is... You don't realize it, but there can be such a gap in people's knowledge of technology and stuff. Yeah. And you don't even have to be an amazing coder or an amazing sound engineer, whatever the class you're doing is, but it will help in other ways as well, you know.
What in particular sort of drew you to the sound part of tech?
So it was actually a weird one because when I originally put in for the colleges I wanted to go to, I was going to go to Athlone to do business. And it was actually in 2020, so we were in lockdown.
Yep.
And I was kind of thinking, I don't know about this. You know, I'm probably going to be working from in college from home, doing something I'm not too sure about. And I had just started. There was another guy doing this sound engineering course in Coda Dojo. And I was doing that for a few weeks, and I thought, I kind of enjoy this. I was doing it at home. And I thought, I wonder if there's any courses around that I could do. And then, you know, if I ended up hating it, or I did it for 2 years and I thought, I don't really want to do this for work, I can always go back and do a course in business or a course in something else, but I might know where I am then. So it was kind of those few weeks in Coda Dojo that kind of got me into it. And then over the summer, I learned more myself and thought, I'll have a crack at doing a course in this.
So like most of the sound design stuff that I've learned, I've taught myself at home. What do you think you get from going to college to learn that kind of thing? Did you pick up new skills that you didn't know even existed before then? Or?
Yeah, I think it helps in giving you like a base, because you learn, like, I know when you're learning from home, you can learn everything from home if you really want to, but it's the structure of how you learn it, because you learn it sporadically and you might learn techniques that maybe you're learning too early. If you learn the base of how everything works and have a foundation to work off, like I did a 2-year course, so like it's not like I learned everything there was to know. It was foundation stuff for the most part, and we learned a bit about the music industry and stuff as well.
Cool.
But it's that base, and also having people to bounce ideas off.
Yeah,
I mean, you're all there doing the same sort of topics, and chances are there's going to be people there who are interested in the same genres of music as you, but also people who are interested in completely different genres of music. So,
and what genres of music are you interested in?
For me, it's probably like hip hop and rap mostly, a little bit of sort of house music and stuff. But I am kind of, I'm open to everything. There's no genres I hate.
Do you play physical instruments, or are you all in the computer?
Pretty much all on the computer. I can play a little bit of like piano kind of thing, but that's mainly from learning it through the software and stuff.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's more so I've kind of done that so I can learn a bit of the theory to then apply.
Piano is like the best instrument for learning theory that there is, because it's, you can see it right there in front of you. Like you can see the thirds, you can see the fifths, you can
It's easy to visualize. And we actually started that in college as well. That was what, because when you're doing, we use like Ableton in college, which is still what I use now. We were kind of, there is a piano roll on that that you can put in MIDI and stuff on. So it kind of applies on both.
I find that like a lot of the kids these days, they like to draw in their MIDI notes and stuff, and that's like alien to us. So much easier for me to just play it.
No, for me, it's drawn it in every time. Yeah.
Do you draw it in like with a pencil or something, or just with a mouse, or
just with the mouse?
Do you sometimes draw a picture to see what the picture will sound like?
Well, no, I used to, not so much now, because it generally doesn't sound very good.
I saw it. Do you know Andrew Huang?
Yeah.
I saw somebody sent me the other day a picture that he'd drawn of a unicorn that had made this. It sounded so good. He must have spent ages actually getting it to sound good.
Sometimes it just sounds awful. Sometimes even when you're trying to make something great and drawing it in, and then you're listening to it and you're like, I just can't get this to work.
And you use Ableton as your... What... I know that like people have their different preferences for a DAW, which is, for people listening, is a digital audio workstation.
Yeah.
Not the DAW that you go through. Yeah. and people have like, they find one that kind of gels with them. What was it about Ableton that gelled with you? I'm a Logic person, personally, but...
To be honest with you, I've got a MacBook now. If I had a MacBook then, I probably would be a Logic person now. But... I originally started on, what was the software called? I think it was Studio One.
FL Studio or something.
Yeah, no, it wasn't FL Studio One. I think it's PreSonus that do it. But it's, I don't know, it wouldn't click with me properly, but I could tell that there was something there I wanted to work with. And then kind of was watching people online using different softwares, and Ableton, I thought, just looked... very, it kind of made sense in my head, so I was like, that's what I'll start
working
with.
With me, it was like back at uni, I'd done stuff like video editing and stuff, which was very linear, so the linearness of the Logic kind of felt comfortable for me, but Ableton looks really exciting.
Yeah.
And I can't gel with it, but it looks cool when other people do it.
I find it's very handy for getting an idea out quick.
Yeah.
Because it's very, like, everything's kind of just in front of you.
It's sort of made for, like, specifically designed for people who are into the kind of music that you're into as well. So it's probably a genre thing too, is helping with making something make more sense.
because I know, and we ended up using it in college as well, which helped because I had already learned the basics of it.
Yeah.
But we used Pro Tools in college as well for if we were recording in the studio, yeah. And that was, I just hate Pro Tools. It's just the bane of my existence. I just can't.
It sounds kind of nightmarish, just the licensing and stuff.
Yeah, but it also, it just feels like a software that was made 40 years ago. Like,
because it was.
Yeah, but and they never changed it. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it works really well for some things, yeah. But it's just not the nicest to work with.
But at least we're sort of living in a time where we've got lots of different options that
yeah.
You can choose what you like.
You could use
and
a different.
There are quite a lot of different free ones as well if people
yeah.
You know, can't afford, like lots of people can afford the kind of Pro Tools money. But like GarageBand is free and Reaper is free. And
yeah.
So there's lots of stuff that people can actually use if they're interested.
And Ableton's quite good in that it has it. I think they have a free trial.
Yeah.
But then they sort of have levels as well. Yep. So they have an introductory one and then a sort of advanced and then a professional level one. So you can upgrade through the licenses. So you can get the intro one and eventually if you're like, okay, I need a bit more, it's not that much more expensive yeah. to upgrade. So.
So where do you see yourself going in the future with all this stuff?
I'm not too sure, really.
That's a perfectly legitimate answer.
I mean, I'll stick around and see where the Port Art Collective goes as well and where Coder Dojo goes. I mean, there's talk at the moment of the old cinema in Port Arlington possibly being sort of renovated and used for...
I say, like I have no idea what's happening, but I know exactly what's happening with the cinema, but not everybody does.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of... I don't even know if it's, you know... It's still in the works, I suppose. We're waiting for funding and that kind of thing.
It's a long-term project.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, we're trying to get somewhere that we can use sort of now, essentially, but that would be so great if we could get that up and running as an arts centre.
Because it'd be great as a base. I mean, it's something that I think a lot of towns like Port Arlington need is there's a lot of old buildings that clearly have some historic value there that just aren't used. So to be able to use one of those for something... creative and community sort of centered. I mean, you can't go wrong, really. Yeah. Like, it's a great pitch, if nothing else.
Yeah. Like anytime you say it to somebody, like they're like, "Yeah, that's what that should be." It's like an obvious choice, but it's money and time.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think it's a lot of money for a building that for any of those buildings that the inside needs so much work.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Have you been inside the cinema?
No, I've seen pictures, but I haven't been inside.
A big, empty space.
Yeah. But it's not level.
Because of the seats.
Yeah. Which isn't ideal either. But
We've got our plans. We've got some plans drawn up.
Yeah.
Our first stage of feasibility funding and stuff. I'm bad at all the hoops that you have to jump through to get to the end. But luckily we've got people in the group who are good at that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's so complicated, that kind of stuff as well. So I know even from, I mean, I'm working in the Department of Children and Equality at the moment and I'm on the Ukraine side of things. So I'm in relocations. So it's sort of finding accommodation for Ukrainians. But even there, and that's a fast moving environment because it has to be. But some of the stop gaps and some of the different things that kind of prevent you from doing what you would think would be obvious.
Yeah. It should be easy, but isn't.
Exactly, yeah. And that goes through all sort of state or local government sort of stuff. So, yeah.
Cool. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about with us today?
I don't think so. I think we've covered pretty much everything.
Thanks very much for coming and talking to us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Can people find you anywhere online or do you want them to?
Not really. I don't really know. I don't really post anything, to be fair.
That's fine.
I might in the future, but not for now.
Sweet. All right.
Thanks, Mian.
Thanks.